Wake up, daddy's home.
We got a Black Hawk down. We got a Black Hawk down.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Everybody's obviously a little bush from all this humping.
Looks like a TKO to me.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll be here all week. Remember to tip your waitresses.
And that was without even a single drop of rum.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You are listening to Sack Radio Live with Jason Cuban.
Welcome to another episode of Sack Radio Live. I'm your host, Jason Cuban, and tonight we have a special episode, and this is part of a mini-series that we're going to be running over the next couple of weeks called Conversing with a Cop. Now, what we've done is sat down with an officer here in Virginia under the conditions of anonymity, and we asked a bunch of questions, the kind of questions that you want the answers to. So we started off kind of easy, and we set the tone, and then we gradually moved into a more aggressive line of questioning. Now, this officer, he was a good sport. He sat there, and he answered every single question to the best of his ability, and he gave us some information that we may or may not have been aware of. Not only that, but he has also helped us understand from an officer's point of view what we can do to help bridge the gap between the community and law enforcement, and likewise we discuss from a citizen's point of view what we feel that the officers can do to help bridge that gap. All this and more in this exciting and very exclusive interview that you'll only hear on SAC Radio Live. When we come back, we'll get right into it.
Resistance is futile. When traversing the universe, we are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. Spot a Cop on Facebook.
With Fat Cat Computers shutting down here in Harrisonburg, where are you going to go to get your computer fixed? Well, I have just the answer for you. Comstar Computers and Fat Cat Computers had been teaming up for quite some time now. Well, we're still at it, and we're still here to help you out. Give us a call at 540-388-3085 or visit us on the web at www.comstarcomputers.com. At Comstar, we're not number one, you are.
Best you can, but it don't take much for me. one to be. Have to worry now. One more thing, you just can't trust everybody. Everybody you see, no, no, you'll find yourself lost alone on a darky street. Oh, here I am, baby. Come and take me.
Tonight we are talking to an officer under the conditions of anonymity. He is an officer here in Virginia, and this is called Conversing with the Cop. This is a pre-recorded program, which means that there will be no calls coming in from the studio line at this time, but you can check us out and participate in the conversation by going to our website chat room. Okay, so let's shift it now to the safety aspect. The first one, and this is something that's been on my mind, I haven't really had an opportunity to explore this with an officer, but I understand that if you're being pulled over by an unmarked cop car, especially for women, that they're told to dial, I think it's 211 or something on the cell phone, which routes into 911, and they can verify that it's an officer. But the overall advice is to, you know, indicate that you're going to stop, but you're going to stop in a public area or a well-lit spot. That's also something I've heard. It's good for the officer's safety is to pull somewhere where it's well-lit, and it's plenty of room so they don't, you know, have to be worried about oncoming traffic. So, my question, I guess, is, let's say you're in an unmarked car and you do pull behind someone and they don't stop immediately. What's going through your mind at this point?
Well, I don't drive. We don't have unmarked cars. I don't drive an unmarked. Even unmarked cars, I disagree with that. But that's my personal opinion. I don't like the fact of that. I know they do have their place as far as drug and addiction and things of that nature, being able to drive and looking, and they have their place. But as far as patrol work and to be out and do things, I think marked cars are the best, and they're marked for a reason. So people, when they see them, they know that's a police officer. But if someone does get unmarked vehicle gets behind them and lights them up, and you can call 911. That's what 911's there. You don't have to have a secret code 211, or just call 911 and say, hey, I'm on Spotswood Trail, or I'm on wherever you're at, and I have an officer behind me, and I just want to make sure that it's an officer. You can slow down the speed. You even slow down to like 35, put your blinkers on, put your four ways, let them know I know you're back there, and then drive to a pop. You can absolutely can drive to a populated area, but I wouldn't make it 27 miles to West Virginia line or however far. I wouldn't do that. Because that's not good.
No.
I would slow down to a really reasonable speed to the right-hand side of the road, put your four-way flashers, call 911. They have direct contact with the officer. Any officer in this area trying to pull, that's me. They're going to go. You, and then once they have that communication and the 911 says, yes, hey, that is a police officer behind you, then you can stop. But that's totally your option. We don't have that around here a lot. I mean, I don't know of any around here that, you know, again, you hear a lot of big news from other states that, you know, he pulled her over and he took the lady into the woods. I mean, that's, we've not had that around here. Not saying that that's not possible, but.
Well, I think this scenario is more like on the interstate anyway, I think. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, you have to follow someone that long. I mean, if you're in town, it's not that hard to find a populated place usually. I mean, I understand rural areas. Okay, but let's go ahead and move it up a little bit. So, the car stopped now, and again, from safety point of view, the car stopped now. You're behind me. What should I do right now to, you know, put you at ease and to make sure I stay safe? What's the first thing I should do?
Well, if you want to, and it's at nighttime, are we talking night or any?
All right, yeah.
Well, at nighttime, it always helps. It's really beneficial to the officer if you cut the interior light on your vehicle. That way we're not coming up, yeah, we have a flashlight, but it's easier if you got the interior light. Okay, we can see the movement in there. Just, I don't really, again, my personal, I don't really care. You can be getting your wallet or whatever and trying to get your, we have that 80% of the time people are getting their wallet, they're digging their wallets out. But just wait. You can wait there for the officer to come up, let him explain why he pulled you over. One thing, big thing that we do often have, or I'll say me, I keep saying we, but we as officers, I guess, is you'll pull up and somebody, what did I do? Well, go ahead and give the officer your driver's license because he wants to know who he's talking to. It's more a personable thing when I can call you by name and I'm going to give you my name so we can talk. Go ahead and give your license. Don't try to dictate the stop like you're going to tell me what I did before I give you my license because that's going down the wrong road right away. Give the officer your license. I promise you he's going to explain to you it over. And again, as we alluded to earlier, if you feel you didn't do it, now's not the time to say that. Say, Your Honor, or Your Sir, I disagree with what you're saying, but I understand. And that's it. Leave it at that, and then let the traffic stop work itself out. Don't go, I would kind of, you know, frown at any moving around down in the floorboards, bending over in the seat, and, you know, because that's just, again, it's not something, again, officers take lightly. We're constantly on traffic stops. You're on guard. You want to make sure that everyone goes home safe, even the violator, even the one that you just stopped. We want to make sure, hey, talk to you, make sure everything's right, and you can be on your way.
What about, like, turning the car off? Is that something you recommend, or does that matter?
It doesn't matter. You can cut your four-way flashers on. You can cut the car off. You can do whatever. That doesn't have any bearings on it. If the officer thinks that he needs the car off for any reason, as though you look as though you may be intoxicated and you might try to run, he might ask you to cut the vehicle off. But other than that, just pull over, put it in park, and just wait.
Put it in park. That's a good one there. And at this point, it's probably a good idea to have flashers on, too. I mean, the officer's got a bunch of lights.
Yeah, your flashers don't need it. Okay. Yeah, you don't need flashers.
Now, I've always been told, and this is something that I actually practice, as a driver, you know, 10 and 2 on the steering wheel with your hands. That way the officer sees your hands. The passenger, I was always told, you know, grab the ceiling. You know.
Well, that's not necessarily because there's vehicles nowadays with trucks that I've pulled over that's had AR-15s and shotguns mounted to the ceiling.
Okay,
they have mounts for those trucks and stuff now. So yeah, that's the best thing. You can just leave your hands exactly on the steering wheel if you want to, just like you're normal. If you're driving and you pull over and you're waiting, just leave your hands where they are. Leave them because we pull up. The first thing we look for is hands. Mm-hmm. I want to see hands, and I'm not. I don't say that, but if I can see visually both of your hands, I feel comfortable, you know.
So what would the passenger do then? I mean, just hands in the lap or on a dash or something?
Just be a passenger. Just sit there and be quiet and just because the stops that does not concern you unless the officer seen the passenger throw a cigarette out the window. But other than that, it doesn't concern you. Just sit there with your hands in your lap or just wait that, you know, five or 6 minutes that it's going to take to run the license and get them on their way.
That's good information. Let's switch it up a bit here. You're knocking at my door. Now, I'm told to go outside and talk to you. Don't let you come in my home. Anything you see that might be a violation of the law, you can get me on. How do you feel about that when someone tells you that's what they're being told?
I mean, if I come to your house and I knock on the door and you invite me in, honestly, truthfully, most of the time, I would rather talk outside. We feel more comfortable outside. It's more of a... It's kind of a better place to go. But if you invite me in, oh, absolutely, I'll come in. That's on you. I mean, you don't have to let me go through your house. You know, if you invite me in and say, okay, come on in. Okay, we'll talk right here. Then right there is where we're going to stay. You're not going to have the officers looking around, going through room to room, because that's not the case.
That's Fourth Amendment protection.
Yeah, they don't do. And the only way they will come in is if you and you invite them in. Or if they ask you, say, hey, you mind if I step in? It's raining. Or something, but if you don't want them to, then they can't. I
mean, so they come in and they see my 4 foot bong sitting next to my couch and my pile of weed on the table. That's probably not a good time to invite the officer in. Obviously,
I probably wouldn't. If I was you, I wouldn't let them. I wouldn't let them in a situation like that.
Okay, so, we have the interaction outside. What can I do at that point to make sure or to help increase the safety of both of us, you, me, the whole situation?
Just be natural. Just sit there and just talk. Just leave your hands. Don't be, you know, even if it's cold and you You know, you ask the officer, hey, you mind if I put my hand in my pocket? He might even want to pat you down, make sure you have anything. That's fine. But if he's there for a reason other than if it's a scam complaint or you've called him there for some reason or other, that's completely different. The officers, we're not, again, we're human. Just treat us like you would talk to the newspaper guy that came out. We're here to do a job, just like a newspaper guy would be coming to your door trying to sell you newspapers. Just talk natural. We're not gods. We're people just like everyone else.
So the key here, what I'm getting is, you know, be natural, be polite. Make sure, you know, your hands are visible. I guess no jerky movements is probably a good idea too, right? I mean, don't be jerking your waistband or something. I mean, we see that ends badly a lot of times.
Well, it depends on the call. Each call is different. Mm-hmm. If I come to your house because you called me there because somebody sent you a phone call requesting money, and you called me there, if you want to, I'm here because you called me there. If you're out on the porch and it's cold and you put your hands in your coat, and you're not going to see a lot of officers, we read people very, very well. We know when we pull up, we can pretty much read, hey, this guy may be a problem. I'm not sure what's going on here. It's called intuition. You have it. It's something that comes with this job. You have intuition on what's going on. Most of the time, officers are not. They're not going to pay you a bit of mind on that. I mean, I've had people, like I said, on traffic stops that says, officer, I've got a concealed weapon permit, and I have it right here. That's great. That's great. Just leave the weapon where it's at. I'm glad you told me about it. That's, you know, it's not a, you have, there's few instances where you have officers that kind of go over the top, and they're, well, let me have the weapon, and they try to take it back, and they try to put it in their car. And the ones that have concealed weapon permits and tell me about it aren't the people you worry about. It's the ones that have the weapon on the seat that don't tell you and think, oh, it's my right to carry it open, which it is. But those are the people you might want to, you know, look at a little bit more.
Now, this is just a personal question for you. The big debate right now in the news is gun control and the whole idea about repealing the Second Amendment. As an officer, I'm sure that you hear stories about other agencies. I know you probably don't have this issue here. I mean, in our area, we have a very low gun crime rate, probably one of the lowest in the country, I'm sure. But your feelings on the Second Amendment, I mean, do you feel that AR-15s are a problem in law enforcement, for law enforcement in general?
No, they're not a problem at all. And again, I can only speak on my behalf, as I've told you from the beginning.
Right.
The gun's not the problem. The gun's not the issue. That's no different than a car or a mm-hmm. fire extinguisher or anything else. It's an object. It's an inanimate object that does not do anything on its own. So regardless if it's a AR-15 or a Daisy BB gun rifle, you know, they both will do exactly what they're designed to do. And the person that has them in their control, it's really a heart problem. It's what they have on their mind or their intentions that causes it. It's not the weapon.
I think I have to agree with that. Let's just hit one more time because I didn't quite finish off my questioning about what we can do to help bridge the gap between the public and officers. What are some things that you think could improve upon? Let's start with the citizen side of the fence. What can we as citizens do to help officers feel more appreciated and feel like they're getting the respect that their job deserves?
Well, first, myself, I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need anyone to come up and say, hey, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing. I don't need that to know that I'm making a difference. But it is appreciative. Officers do appreciate that. When somebody comes up and say, hey, we thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the good work. We have your back, things of that nature. And what people have to understand, it's not officers against the community. That's not what it's like. You have the ones that are pushing that agenda are usually the ones that's had some kind of a history with law enforcement. So they have that bad blood, so to speak. I mean, I guess that's how you said spotted cop got, because you were kind of upset.
Right.
Yeah. That's no. You did that, I guess. But from what I've come to know, you've kind of overcome that. You still have some issues and things that you think in your mind, and that'll probably always be there, just like I do with other things. Everyone does, but
I'm saying that's an important thing to mention here, because I don't know if some of these listeners know that, but I am the founder of Spotted Cop, and you're right. I did start that because of a bad interaction. Well, not necessarily a bad interaction with an officer, but with a checkpoint, I just felt that they were unconstitutional. but not to cut you off or anything. Sure. But yeah, I think that's important to put out there, because I think that part of fixing the problem right now is an open dialogue. But I cut you off, so continue.
I forget what we was even
at. Well, we were talking about, you know, it's not...
It's not the police officers. Yeah, it's not the police officers against the community. We work for the community. That's what we're here to serve and to protect the community. That's our first and foremost. It's we serve the community, and people. When you get that, it's us against them mentality. That kills a lot of dialogue that you're looking to. Like you talked to me about trying to get the dialogue better between community and the police. That does broaden it. That widens that gap when they start really pushing that agenda of, especially when it's on lies and it's on just things that they perceive to be truth and not really know it, not really understand it. That's not the truth, and investigating, and that's just not the way to do it.
Well, let me tell you what we see. Now, when I say we, I don't mean everybody, but we, the people who are skeptical of law enforcement. We see that you work for the politicians. You work for the guys in lining their pockets, and you're their henchmen. This is a gang. I mean, I'm sure you've heard all this before. When you and I sit down and we speak, that kind of goes out the window real quick. You know, I mean, all these labels and these ideas about what police are, what the citizens are, or for me being the spot a cop guy, you and I admitted that we have seen each other in different light after getting to know each other. But how do we take where you and I are right now in our conversations and our talks, which we talk a lot, Facebook, talk in person, sure. How do we take this and translate that into something bigger for our community and for our other officers? I think the first things one could probably submit to is a lot of officers are probably open to having these conversations. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. There are some departments in our area that do have that, where you can go, and I know you and I have spoken of that before with problems and suggestions. Go to that department. I think it's something to do with coffee or coffee with a cop or something.
Yes.
You can actually go there and speak with the officers. And like I said, usually those officers that they have there, they're kind of the upper echelon. Those people are really, they're squared away. They listen to you. They like that. And one thing that can really help as far as is you and I have, we've known each other for a little while now. We've been talking for several
at least a couple months.
Yeah, well, it's been more. It's probably been a year.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah, but you and I have been talking. We haven't really been talking a lot until the last several months. But
right.
You've been down one road. You've been on that side, and I'm on this side, and we've kind of come together. We still have some differences. You know, we discuss things differently, but the way to do it is for people to open their eyes and try to look at it on the other aspect. Just instead of saying, he shouldn't have wrote me for going that fast. Look at it from the officer standpoint, is you shouldn't have been going that fast, you know, and look at it from the officer standpoint. Because we often do. When I pull people over, I look at the whole ball. I look at, okay, the vehicle that they're in. It might be like one of my vehicles. I don't have the nicest vehicles. Does this person really have the money? Are they going to be able to pay this ticket that I just caught them? Their attitude. And then you look at the whole ball of wax, and then you make your decision. You know what? I can see it from his point. He, from the offender standpoint, is the officer just caught me. Man, this is going to cost me so much money. And I see that in these people. And that's why I give multiple breaks. I mean, I'll 15 cars I pull over, I'll give 14 breaks. That's why, because I do have a heart, and most officers that you see in the area that I can vouch for, because I know a lot, they have a heart too. People know, we know that, but just try to look at it from the officer's standpoint, that it's, again, it's not us against them. It's not us against you. It's, we're working, we are, be honest, it's working together. Me pulling you over is not for any kind of, I've seen one time on there about quotas. It's nothing about quotas. I've never worked for a department or anything that's ever said, you will write this many tickets. We need this money. It's not about that. It's about the safety of the citizens. If you're traveling 47 in a 25, how can you stop that vehicle from that little girl up the road that's chasing a ball across the road? How can you stop? I'm stopping you to let you know, sir, and this, you need to slow down. The speed limit's the speed limit for a reason. Look at it in my, yes, you're right. You're right, sir. I could have probably hit that. I could have hit somebody, so I understand. And that's what a brain. And chances are the officer, again, he'll look at it on your standpoint. Now, there are some times that people, when you run their license and it comes back that they're minus 15 or minus 20 on their points, they're just not getting the hint. And the only way to really get their attention is to let a judge, is to write them and let the judge start getting in their pocket. And ultimately, that'll, I know it would for me, after I start having to pay fine after fine, I've got to evaluate what I'm doing, and it's got to change.
What you say resonates with me. However, I'm going to play the advocate here and hit you with this one here and see what you think about this. You say no quotas. Okay. I submit to you that if I work in a business where I have to deliver so many babies a month, and I'm not delivering these babies, well, they're going to replace me. So what we see is, well, officers, if they're not pulling anybody over month after month, well, they're not doing their job. They're going to get replaced. So there's got to be a quota system. So you're telling me there's no quota system? Well, how does this work, and how do you keep a job if you don't pull people over?
I have never, like I said, I'll resort back. I have never worked for a department. I've worked for several that has ever told me, ever said, this is what we require you to do. I can go as far to say I've never worked for a department and said, hey, your summonses for the month was a little low. You need to step them up. Never have I ever worked for a department. I don't know of any departments in our area that say that outside of the Harrisonburg. I'll say Harrisonburg City. I don't know. I can't say I've never really been affiliated with them one way or shape or form. I do know they write a lot of summonses, but outside of them, and I honestly have never heard of them, and I've talked to a lot of their officers. I've never heard. Now, there's some officers. You're going to have officers that write summonses. That's just the thing. You're going to have some that write a lot of summonses. They do traffic. That's their job, is to do traffic. It's to get out, look for violators, stop them, find them. Maybe, hopefully, that same person won't do that again. They're going to have that. But it's so easy, and I can see your point, and I can see everyone else. It's so easy to set back because we've been told over the years it's quotas for police officers. It's they go to the 7-Eleven and drink free coffee and donuts, and it's just that stigma that people have grown accustomed to throwing out there. Now, I can't speak for 15, 20, 30 years ago. I can't, you know, what the cops and what they did back then.
Naturally.
But I can speak for myself and what I've been through as an officer for the last, I've been in law enforcement 16 years, but I'd say for the last 8 years, 9 years as police officer, that I've not worked for a department that said anything about quotas. Their basic thing is stop traffic. You see offenses, stop traffic. Get your nose in the vehicle. Make sure everything's squared away. There's no drunk driving, that impairment to hurt somebody. The drugs, everything looks clean. Boom. Send them on their way. Give them a warning. Now, if we pull you over again, you know, I've done gave you a warning for that one, then that's when your tickets and stuff start coming. But there's no end of the month quota and that quote unquote stuff you hear all the time. I can assure you from the departments that I have worked for, and like I said, there's been several, that's never been an issue.
That's all the time we have for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next Sunday night at 11 p.m. where we'll pick the interview back up. This was a great installment here. I asked some harder questions than last week, and we got some good responses. So tune in again next week, and we will see what else we can dig up with conversing with a cop. Remember, SAC Radio Live is brought to you in part by ComStar Computers. ComStar is serving the Shenandoah Valley, meeting all the IT needs of the community. At ComStar, they're not number one, you are. 540-388-3085. Good night, and we'll see you next week right here on SAC Radio Live.
We are the Borg. Resistance is futile. When traversing the universe, we are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. Spot a cop on Facebook.